Life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to gold, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it, fuck you. Everybody, welcome to another great show. We've got lots to talk about today. We're going to talk about a butt, maybe a couple butts. I've got a brand new sports segment in line for you that I hope you all really fucking hate. And also, I was going to do a thing about a book series, a very beloved book series. So say cheese and die. So it's every football season, it kind of comes up to me, you know, whether I like it or not, that I don't know anything about football or care anything about football. And by that I mean I don't follow it. I don't know who the football men are. I don't know what's going on. You know, and I wish I could just absorb this information. Or sometimes I think maybe I should just read some kind of crazy book about football, right? Just so I would have some football knowledge in the back of my head, in the back of my mind, that other people wouldn't have. You know what I'm saying? Because then when people are watching football, I could say, like, did you know that the football was designed to be that shape? Because that way you could use it to penetrate a woman violently after you won the Heisman Trophy. Or something like, I don't know. I don't know why it was. But then, you know, that's what I'm saying. I would find out and then I would know. But it's hard to know. It's hard to know what's happening in the minds and the hearts of football. But I could try. So I thought that maybe, you know, just to familiarize myself and yourselves with sports, maybe what we could do is, you know, I would look up some sports news. We could do some sports commentary, just like they do on the regular radio. You know, every fucking radio, every newspaper, here's what it has. Let's see, 4,000 people killed in a horrible bombing. By the way, Syria, give me a break. Okay, could a country blow up that I don't have to look up in order to make fun of first? How about that? Something I've heard of? Canada, Mexico, Argentina. That's about it. So you're Germany. You know, I would love for Germany to start some shit again. I think that would be nice. I think that would be nice. You know. They're start mixing it up again. We could really enjoy ourselves. Could really enjoy the fun of that, I think. I think we'd get a lot out of that. Anyway, so it's got that horrible disaster, many deaths. This is important things for people to know. I mean, again, I read that and I say, okay, well, shit. I'm glad I didn't do that or wasn't in it, but that's about my limit. You know, what am I going to do? Write a letter to some fucking crate? Can I tell you something about people who write letters? Just a second. Because this will happen. You know, a TV show or somebody, a radio show, let's say, will get in trouble because they'll be like, someone wrote a letter and it said, oh my God, you know, I was offended, da 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 da. I would like to tell you all a story about somebody who wrote a letter. Are you all familiar, I assume you are, with the comic strip Dilbert? Okay, this is about a guy who works in an office. He's got glasses and a curly tie. I mean, it's pretty much just office shit, you know. Who took the last donut? I don't know, but let's talk about it for the next month. We'll solve the mystery, and it turns out it was the dog Dilbert. You know, it's good stuff. So what happens? What happened is this woman came to my work and was talking to a coworker, and she wanted to get the address of the syndicate that publishes Dilbert. This is how you know newspapers are fucked up. They still use syndicates. You know who uses a syndicate? Newspapers and people who are trying to take down Spider-Man. Hey, we've got a new syndicate of evil. Hey, that sounds great. I'm Dr. Octopus. I'm in. You know, I'm the lizard. I'm the Sandman. The Sandman. I'm Hydro Man. Don't sit me next to Sandman, LOL. We'll be screwed. I don't understand. I just read this comic book where the Sandman fought the Human Torch, and the Human Torch was like, this is going to be no sweat. And then the Sandman covered him with sand, and the Human Torch was kind of like, oh yeah, I guess you could just dump a bunch of sand and put out a fire. Wouldn't you know, like, the five things that fire could be destroyed by if you were the Human Torch? Open a fucking book for 10 minutes. Natural enemies of fire. Oh, okay. Sand. All right, well, when the Sandman comes, I'll just be like, you guys are on your own. I'll go burn Electro alive. How about that? While you, I don't know what, you, I don't know how you beat sand. You know, you get some fucking sand in your tent when you go camping and screwed for life. You're never going to fix that shit. We're way down the stupid rabbit hole. So the newspaper has the politics shitty section. Then it's got, you know, business. Which I say, oh, yeah, you know, the Dow, that's going great or bad, you know. Oh, it's making a rebound today at 9 a.m. New York time today. It was making a rebound. Wonderful. I'm going to have to think about my investments. Then you've got the sports. So here's the thing. You've got basically everything horrible that's happening in the world and maybe something about the Pope. Then you've got business, which is, you know, what's going on, what's happening. And then you, equal opportunity for sports. This is probably the one of the top three most important things that's happening is sports. Even looking at Google, you've got top stories, news near you, world, U.S., business, technology, entertainment, and sports. And what's right below sports? Science. Okay, science less important than sports. Now, I blame science for this mostly, you know, because science, fuck science. I mean, they're not doing enough stuff. They need to get crazy. I don't know why, again, comic book, every time a scientist gets frustrated enough, they're like, hey, wait a minute, you can't experiment on worms. That would be wrong. And they say, yeah, but I'm going to cure cancer. And they say, fuck that. You can't take apart a worm and put them on a table. It's not worth it to us. And then in the comics, they always say, okay, well, I guess I'll turn my cancer ray into a death ray that gives you cancer, and I'm going to blow up everybody, and I'll become the worm. Create tunnels under New York and enrich the soil by accident. That would be fun. But in real life, it seems like they just go to work, like many of us, and you know, they get a little frustrated, they get behind on a project, or their boss is like, I need you to update your calendar when you're going to the orthodontist. And they say, okay, that sounds good. And that's it. You know, and so when the boss is like, oh, we can't experiment on worms, they're like, ah, crap, well, okay, I guess I'll just go to lunch then. Oh, I remembered what I was talking about, Dilbert. Why people who write letters are crazy. Anyway, fuck science. And so this lady brings in a cutout Dilbert comic where he makes a joke about someone killing themselves. And, you know, it's pretty minor. This woman is, like, incensed. And she's saying how she's worried that Scott Adams, creator of Dilbert, is having suicidal thoughts and may be damaging part of his brain by thinking this way. So she needs to write a letter to his publisher to make sure they're aware of the situation. This is why, if you get a letter, if you're a publisher, if you're somebody, I don't know why you'd listen to this fucking horseshit, but if you get a letter, you need to contact that person. Just have a 2-minute phone conversation with them. And then you'll say, oh, well, this is a fucking crazy person. Just because someone can put pen to paper and put a stamp on something does not make them not a crazy person. In fact, it's pretty much the opposite. You know, that's just about it. So that's that. So the newspaper sucks, sports are shit, science is probably worse. And without further ado, we'll get to our sports segment of the show, On the Ball with Pete, as we like to call it. I'm going to bring up some sports music, some Gary Glitter sports music. How does that sound? Have you guys ever listened to any? Okay, so this is Gary Glitter. We all know this. Hold on to your seats for this exciting thing that's not happening. Oh, Christ. We're totally disconnected from the internets. This is a terrible problem. I don't know what's going on, you guys. It's all ruined. Everything about my life has gone to shit. How could this fucking happen right in the middle of this show? I should call that lady from Comcast and be like, can you fix everything about what's happening with my internet? I mean, you're offering me channels of TV, but I can't even stay connected to the goddamn internet for 20 minutes. What the hell's going on? Fix it. Fix it, fix it, fix it. Immediately. I always swore when I got wireless internet, I was like, I'm going to leave it unlocked. Because then other people can just jump on. I don't care, because I needed internet so bad. And you know when that idea changed? The minute I started getting wireless internet, I was like, fuck you guys. You can't be on my internet. To pay all this money for this internet and take these phone calls, hook up these hideous flashing devices, you know, that I've since corded into my closet, because that's how bad. Why does every router and thing, why can't they look like a nightstand? You know what I mean? Or why can't they make holes in the back of nightstand? I mean, you have to drill a hole in the back of a nightstand to put a wireless router in there so you can give yourself fucking brain cancer. I don't understand why they have to look like that. They have to look like something that comes from the inside of a fucking Monster Energy drink vending machine. A machine that's just for that. You know what I mean? Oh, God damn it. We're still not getting nothing. It's an issue with the router or wireless access point. Oh, Christ. Oh, here we go. We're back. Maybe. I don't know why I have to tell it to connect. You just connect, buddy. All right, there we go. Let's see if we can get back. So, do we all know Gary Glitter? This guy. We all know this, right? Or this one, maybe? Or... Now, this is Rock and Roll Part 2. I've never heard Rock and Roll Part 1. Sounds an awful lot like Rock and Roll Part 2, doesn't it? But what about Do You Wanna Touch Me? Oh Yeah. I mean, pretty much the same thing, isn't it? You really like those kind of drums. Yeah, listen. I think this is the other one, just backwards. Kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? Dunna, dunna. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, there's words. Okay. Anyway, this is the only sports song I know. So this is going to have to play while we do the sports update. Hey, everybody. You're listening to On the Ball with Pete in the morning. Oh, my God. Well, we've got a lot of big sports stories for you, as you can imagine, because sports never stop. So let's see what we've got first. Tim Tebow belongs on the Patriots roster. After a great performance last night, I could see why Tim Tebow would belong on a roster. I mean, he's played like 5 good games of football in his entire life, and that's more than I could say for the rest of us. What do we got next? Hurting former players can't afford to wait, so NFL gets cheap. Yeah, what a big fucking surprise that the NFL destroys someone's body and then they decide not to help them out when they're after that. Hey, guess what? I got an idea. If you make $10 million a year, how about you fucking put some of it away in a savings? Read Investment for Jummies. Cards add reliever Axford in trade with Brewers. These are not words that I even understand. Cards, like playing cards, add reliever Axford in trade with Brewers. Okay. Phil Mickelson shoots 28 at Deutsche Bank. Incredible. Incredibly bad or incredibly good? I don't know. But what I do know is that he shot 28, and it's at a very evil-sounding place. Deutsche Bank. Clownly, quietly effective in number 7 South Carolina's win. Nothing like a good sports story about a quietly effective player. That's very exciting. We can remember all of our quietly effective athletes that we've loved. LeBron James, very quiet, known for his quietness. Michael Jordan, known for being very quiet. The guy who dressed up like his own grandmama, whoever the fuck that asshole was. Lil Penny, we always had Scottie Pippen getting arrested very quietly. We always had Larry Bird, who seemed racist because, let's face it, he was playing for a racist sport. Oh, and we always have our good friend Shaquille O'Neal. Quietly effective. Indians acquire Jason Kubel from Diamondbacks. Well, that sounds great. I'm glad that the Indians got him. He's now Indian. I don't know what Diamondback is a racial slur for, but I'm guessing it's got to do with people from the Central American area. Colin Kaepernick wraps up solid preseason. Fantasy value high. I just wanted to let everybody know that if you're playing fantasy football, that this is a great player for you to get. Colin Kaepernick. Put that in your fantasy roster and shove it up your ass. Longtime umpire Frank Pulley, pioneer of instant replay, is dead. Let's see a replay of him going into that casket. And he's we got to take a commercial break.
iHeartRadio Music Festival. And thanks to Matador Beef Jerky, you could be joining the stars for a 2-day Vegas.
Every fucking commercial is dubstep now. Have you noticed this? It does not matter if it's Transformers the movie or fucking some kind of crazy yogurt at the store that helps you take shits better. It's fuck that shit. I don't need that for everything. Okay? All right, let's get back to our stories here. Is our next song going to play? Come on. All right. Robert Griffin III cleared, but concerns still linger. Fucking A. Well, hopefully he gets clear of his, what I'm guessing are legal woes for probably stabbing a homeboy, and we'll be fine. Mark Sanchez, unlikely to play in New York Jets opener. Crushing defeat. U.S. Open 2013. Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer, playing in top form in the quarterfinal. Ah, tennis. That's a real good sport. Women's tennis, great sport. Men's tennis, total bullshit. Seahawks beat Raiders. End preseason undefeated. The preseason, for those of you who don't know, is the season they play before the season that doesn't actually count for anything. UFC 164's Henderson always after beating the guy up. I don't know what that means, but I mean it's UFC, so he's got punched in the brain for about the last hour, and forgive him for not having a quote. Towson Tigers football beats Connecticut for first win versus FBS team. I think that means football Bible school. This is like vacation Bible school except football. Hot MVP debates. Cabrera versus Trout. Kershaw versus McCutcheon. Fantasy football stock with Jesus again. First look, Detroit Red Wings goalie Jimmy Howard's new mask. Oh, he's got a new outfit to wear while he gets hard rubber pucks shot at his head. This is going to be one of the best Red Wings seasons of all time. Mark my words. Indianapolis to bid for Super Bowl L, little L, little L. Capital L, little L, little L. Whatever the hell that number is. What happened to the X's? That's what I want to know. I thought it was XX this and that. Ooh, and we have the XXX Super Bowl. That's going to be a fucking good day. Is it ever acceptable for Americans to root against American athletes? I don't even know what the point of that. Because I've never gone to a baseball game and it's like, and today's Colorado Rockies versus Japan, the country. When do you get to see that? The Olympics? And who cares? You're at your stupid house watching fucking people row a ship at 1 in the afternoon. Nobody cares who you're rooting for. That was some exciting shit, wasn't it? That was action-packed, if I do say so myself. Thanks to Gary Glitter, I think he was a pedophile or something like that. I'm not really sure if he was sexing up little boys or touching little girls or something, but something real bad happened with that guy. I don't even know if he's still alive, you know? It is weird to me, if this is true. I mean, if this is true that he did something horrible like that, and we still listen to every time we go to a sports game. Oh my God, he looks like a crazy Elvis. Glam rock. Da 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 da. Let's see. Let's see if I can find mainstream success, cardio, oh, drunk driving charges. Oh boy. This is just the Wikipedia sort of index. Legal history, 5.1. Drunk driving charges, 5.2. Child pornography arrest and conviction, 5.3. Southeast Asia. Now that's its own section with subsections. 5.3.1. Cambodia. So what he did in Cambodia. 5.3.2. Vietnam underage sex conviction. Which each of the, that also, Vietnam, okay, so Southeast Asia, Vietnam underage sex conviction also has subcategories of arrest and trial, appeal, release, plans after prison release, and then another 5.4 in the legal history, alleged involvement in the Jimmy Savile sexual abuse scandal. Now, here's a funny thing, drunk driving, I mean, there's like two lines in here. During the 1980s, Glitter was convicted of driving under the influence for the third time, which led to a 10-year driving ban. He narrowly escaped a prison term. I mean, it is kind of fucked up to get your third DUI when he must have been rich as fuck, right? Okay? You must be rich as hell. Which probably hang on. Let's go through some of Gary Glitter's best stats here, if we may. Let's see. Child pornography arrest and conviction. 1997. That's interesting. He was arrested after pornographic images of children were discovered on the hard drive of a Toshiba laptop that he had taken to Cribbs Causeway near the Bristol branch of PC World for repair. So he took his computer in to a computer place and he had child porn on it. I mean, yeah, here's another thing. If you're Gary Glitter, and you know, I know you don't have time to back up your files. You know, you're busy with that. But how about this? Just fucking burn that laptop and get a new one, all right? Get some more. Additionally, his appearance in the Spice Girls film Spice World was cut. Well, yeah. Although, nevertheless, a truncated edit of the scene featuring a version of Glitter's I'm the Leader of the Gang was still included in the film. In the months before his conviction, he thanked audiences for their support as at his last show before his trial. Thank you! I'm going to continue to rock out and, you know, sorry about that thing with the naked kid pictures. So he was sentenced to 4 months imprisonment and listed as a sex offender following conviction for downloading thousands of items of child pornography. 4 months? That doesn't seem that long. Now, I guess... Well, I don't really want to endorse any of this, but let's just put it this way. I mean, probably downloading child pornography is not the same as hosting or sharing it, right, with other people. I mean, it's still bad, but at the same time, I don't know, if you're not creating, it's probably people, whoever's taken those pictures is the crazy person, right? Oh, here we go. He was also charged with having sex with an underage girl, Allison Brown. Thank goodness we have her name. 20 years earlier, when she was 14 years old, she had a relationship with Glitter for some years. All right, whatever. Following a rejection by the British public and facing scrutiny from the press following his arrest, Gary Glitter fled on his yacht to Spain. Now, this is what I like. I like a good crazy celebrity fleeing on a yacht. That's quality. I like that. Upon being discovered there, he set sail again, ultimately traveling to Gibraltar, Cuba, Mexico, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Colombia, Portugal, Brazil, Venezuela, and Thailand, before settling in Cambodia. Perfect. I mean, this is what I like. You know, we're chasing him down. This would be a great movie montage. You know what I mean? You've got some, let's see. Let's check out some of his songs. I'm the Leader of the Gang. Nah, that's stupid. Hello, Hello, I'm Back Again. How about that? And they're chasing him around the world, and it's showing a map, and his yacht's going on there. I mean, this is a man who's really committed to child pornography. You know what I mean? He's willing to just be like, all right, well, I'm going to move to Cuba and then Zimbabwe. Who'd even say, yeah, Zimbabwe, that sounds like a place I could make a new start. Give me a fucking break. Here we go. Cambodia. Glitter lived in Cambodia in 2002. Before being permanently deported to Vietnam due to suspected child abuse. You know how you know Vietnam is fucked up? If Cambodia deports people to your country, that's bad. That's real bad. I don't think anybody's got both legs and not have one blown off by a landmine in Cambodia. And they're saying, eh, you better head that way. You know, and he's just like, yeah, it seems good. Vietnam underage sex convention. Vietnam underage sex conviction. Let's see, he was 61 and arrested and charged with molesting two underage girls aged 10 and 11 at his home. Excuse me. Let's see. He did some 3 years imprisonment. Although he had 2 years, two appeals, and reduced to 3 months. So far he's done a total of 7 months for, like, three DUIs, having sex with a super underage, and then possibly having sex with two other super underages. That's pretty crazy. So he tried to have, let's see, Ho Chi Minh City, got busted, he was turned over to somebody, Vong Tao, for having sex, da-da-da-da, blah blah blah, mandatory deportation. He denied that he was a pedophile in an interview. He said that he hoped that there was even a slim chance he could put his life back on track and have a career after he left prison. The people around him felt the media already made sensation about the pedophile allegations. He continued to blame the press for his downfall and called him the worst enemy in the world. Alleging entrapment by them by paying local girls in a bar to arrange a photo scoop. Glitter did not comment about his previous conviction for possession of child pornography several years earlier. This is real fucked up. Right? I mean, holy Christ. I don't understand, like, how you're entrapped by a 10-year-old sexually. I mean, for me to be entrapped by a 10-year-old sexually, a 10-year-old would have to break into my home and then drug me, like, put an ether rag over my mouth and then make me fall asleep. And then prop up my parts with, like, a popsicle stick and then Photoshop out the stick later and then lay next to me in a bed, you know, while I've been knocked out and broken into and home invaded. This is really the only way that I can think. How do you become... Hockey, oh, I was sitting in... Oh, Jesus. Electric cars. Commercials. I mean, how... You're sitting... Oh, I was innocently sitting in a bar and these young women came up and kind of, you know, tricked me into... What? Being sexually aroused by... How does that work? You know what I mean? See, I just want to see if he's dead. Not dead yet. 69. Could have a comeback. It's not too... That would be great if he did like a Johnny Cash type album. That would really... that would really make my day, I think. Oh, God. My throat's... Apparently he recorded some stuff, in the 90s, and they just put it back out. All right. That's more than we ever wanted to know about Gary Glitter, isn't it? Did we ever want to know that about Gary Glitter? All these... He's a horrible pedophile. I just would like everyone to note... Okay, this is my new sports thing, I guess. Now when we're at a sports thing, you know, and they're... I can say, did you know that guy was like a crazy pedophile who escaped from the UK on a yacht and went to like Cuba and Zimbabwe, and he got deported from Vietnam for having sex with like a 10 and 11 year old, and then he ended up in all kinds of shit, big trouble in Little China, which is what I call Vietnam because I'm racially insensitive. Did you know that? Anyway, enjoy your sports. So there we go. That was On the Ball with Pete. Did you guys enjoy that? Should that be a regular segment? Sports and then turns into, you know, discussing a pedophile. This is why this show is never going to be huge. You know, we can't go 10 minutes without discussing something horrible. Trying to talk about something innocent like football and it turns into something not innocent like the music they play at football. I wanted to, I found this book at work. Okay, we all read this when I was a kid. Goosebumps. Goosebumps. These are scary stories for kids. You know, reader beware, you're in for a scare. This is one of my favorites just based on the title. It's called Say Cheese and Die! With an exclamation point. I don't really remember what happens, but I think there's some kind of a haunted camera. You know, and I think takes pictures of people and then they die or something happens to them. I can't exactly remember. You know, and on the picture, it's got this great, or the cover, it's got this great picture and it's like a family all grilling and the dad's grilling and the mom's holding a plate of empty buns, which, by the way, I'd be like, hey, idiot, you can't just pile up a bunch of buns on a stupid plate. How am I supposed to put burgers on there? Where are you going to put the ones with burgers in them now? Just on top of the other ones? Son is in the background. Oh, they're all skeletons. Did I mention that? Son is in the background eating a hot dog. You know, they have all hamburgers, and his son's like, I want a hot dog! So he had to make one fucking hot dog. You know, you can't just eat a hamburger. And then I assume is a daughter in the background holding a fork and taking her shades off like, ooh, damn. This book costs $3.25, which is very cheap. This is the fourth in the Goosebumps series. I just thought maybe we should read a little bit of this and see how good it is. Now, I do want to point out that we haven't, you know, we're going to start on the fourth. So we missed out on Welcome to the Dead House, you know, which is actually less scarier than the Alive House, I would think. Stay out of the basement, which is, I think, a pretty clear directive, if I remember correctly. That's what the one I think where a guy's dad turns into Swamp Thing, and that's a huge problem for some reason. Monster Blood, don't really remember that one, and The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb. You know, that's pretty straightforward. There's a mummy, there's a curse, there's probably a bunch of sand and bugs. So here we go. Do you think this has a dedication? No. Oh, this is weird. If you purchase this book without a cover, you should be aware that this book is stolen property. It was reported as unsold and destroyed to the publisher, and neither the author nor the publisher has received any payment for this, quote, stripped book. So now you know. Here we go. One. There's nothing to do in Pitt's Landing, Michael Warner said, his hands shoved into the pockets of his faded denim cutoffs. Oh my God. This is already going well. Number one, in the first line, we already get, they always do this. They're like, Michael Warner is da 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 da, you know, and but his friend Steve, blah 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 blah. They always have to put, I hate when in a book, Nothing can piss me off more than if a book starts with a person's name. James Stevenson felt sad that day. Fuck you. Okay? Tell me something interesting. There are like 10 names on this page. Michael Warner, Greg Banks, Doug Arthur, Sherry Walker. All these people. Doug Arthur. Hi, my name's... Fuck. Jesus. Also, Pitt's Landing. They always have to come up with a cute fake name for the place. This is Pitt's Landing. That sounds really nice. I don't know why they never... Why are books never set in these... You know, you'll see these towns and it'll be like, can you believe that this town is named like Lake Titicaca, or like this one is named, you know, Real Human Balls Right on Some Lady's Faceville? They never set a story in those places. I don't know why. I mean, if you can make up Pitt's Landing, why wouldn't you just make up something crazy like that? You know what I mean? Huge, gross, fake boobs. The town. That's where we live. Is huge, fake, gross boobs town. Oh, and his faded denim cutoffs. Now we know he's cool because he's wearing faded denim cutoffs. That's what I wore when I was a kid. You know, a little scamp. I would cut off my own jeans. This always was a good idea, by the way. This is why moms should buy their kids shorts. Because if I make my own shorts out of pants when I'm in fourth grade, it's not going to turn out right. I remember having one pair that I liked and one other pair where the legs were quite short and uneven. One was about right. One was a little shorter than I preferred. When I sat down, I could see my entire upper legs. You know what I mean? They were more akin to the sort of jean shorts that the young ladies are wearing today, where if I can see part of your butt, the actual flesh of the butt, those might be a little short. I'm not going to tell you how to dress, but here's a tip. I have an idea of how to tell if your shorts are too short. Put on like granny panty underwear, and if I can see your butt in your short, if I can see the underwear coming out, be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful. You know, you still have living relatives, okay? But, yeah, so, you know, making my own shorts, they were way too short. And part of the problem was I tried to even them out at one point, and that just shortened them, and they still weren't even, you know, because I couldn't do it. I didn't have the guts to even them out. And they didn't, you know, they were at a slant, so I had a nice V shape, and I mean... If you're a kid out there listening to this, God forbid, ask your mom to cut off your shorts if that's what you do. Or just wear long pants throughout the summer. What does it matter? It's not like I need to cool off. I'm in fourth grade. I would hate to be sweaty when I walk to Long's Drugs to buy pop. You know, what if I run into someone from class? What are we going to do? Go get a hotel room? I mean, who cares, you know? Oh, remember how you were always too warm in fourth grade? Yeah, of course I do. I was miserable. I was wearing jeans because I couldn't cut off my own shorts because I listened to a radio show and a guy told me not to. It's a perfectly logical explanation. Let's see. Yeah, Pitt's Landing is the pits. Nice, Greg Banks said. Doug Arthur and Sherry Walker muttered their agreement. Pitt's Landing is the pits. That was the town slogan, according to Greg and his three friends. Actually, Pitt's Landing wasn't much different from a lot of small towns, with quiet streets of shady lawns and comfortable old houses. But here it was, a balmy fall afternoon, and the four friends were hanging around Greg's driveway, kicking at the gravel, wondering what to do for fun and excitement. "Let's go to Grover's and see if the new comic books have come in," Doug suggested. "We don't have any money, Bird," Greg told him. Everyone called Doug Bird because he looked a lot like a bird. I mean, as if we don't have enough names, now we need a nickname here. A better nickname might have been Stork. He had long, skinny legs and took long, stork-like steps. Under his thick tuft of brown hair, which he seldom brushed, he had small, bird-like brown eyes and a long nose that curved like a beak. Doug didn't really like being called Bird, but he was used to it. Sounds like a hot guy this Gary Glitter might be into. "We could still look at the comics," Bird insisted. "Until Grover starts yelling at you," Sherry said. She puffed out her cheeks and did a pretty good imitation of the gruff store owner.
Are you paying or staying?
He thinks he's cool, Greg said, laughing at her imitation. He's such a jerk. I think the new X-Force is coming in this week.
Oh, awesome!
I hope it was illustrated by Rob Liefeld. Just ignore the feet. You should join the X-Force, Greg said, giving his pal a playful shove. You could be Birdman. You'd be great. We should all join the X-Force, Michael said. If we were superheroes, maybe we'd have something to do. No, we wouldn't. Okay, this is horrible. When does the dying start? I'm just going to skip to the next chapter. He toppled backwards. It's a dumb cocker spaniel. Oh, okay. So here's how the chapter ends. A chill ran down his back. Before he could reply, a dark form leapt up from the shadows of the tall weeds and attacked him. Greg toppled backwards onto the ground. Ah, he screamed. Then he realized the others were laughing. It's a dumb cocker spaniel, Sherry cried. He followed us. Go home, dog. Go home. Okay. That's a real good cliffhanger there. From somewhere deep in the basement, someone said, help, it's got me. They run down there, and then someone's laughing, sitting on an overturned trash can. What the fuck? Bird was goofing around again. Jesus Christ. All right, that's enough of that. I mean, I don't know if I was easily entertained as a child. I mean, I remember being forced to read. You know, I guess this would be like making fun of the way someone walked in the Bataan Death March. You know, it's like, that guy walks like a fairy. And it's like, well, he's marching to his death, so who cares? I mean, whatever. Just, you know, walk however you feel is necessary. I would not endorse Goosebumps, Say Cheese and Die. Cannot give that a thorough recommendation, a Henry David Thoreau recommendation. It's not good. The plot is thin. The cliffhangers are all big teases, which I don't like. The characters have dumb names. They don't really seem to understand anything about the X-Force, and I would say the X-Force seems to have been used solely as a cultural reference to make kids think that this is hip. Should be replaced by the Avengers in the updated version, and they could say that the one guy could be Hawkeye because his eyes look like a dumb hawk's face.
I give it
no stars out of 1 million stars overall as a rating. I think I had another thing that I was supposed to talk about, but I can't remember what it was. But I did have a weird week. So the gym I go to normally was closed. They shut the doors. For why? I don't know. I don't know what they do. You know, allegedly they clean out the pool, I think, which is really fun because it's almost worse that they close to clean out the pool once a year because you say, Jesus Christ, you clean this pool once a year? I mean, I clean my bathtub more than that and I'm the only guy in there. There's one man in this bathtub. I'm not peeing and shitting in the bathtub for the most part. I had, for a little while there this summer, I had a real disturbing hobby of reading in the bathtub. You guys ever done this? This is not a good hobby. I don't know how I got this idea, but I was reading a book in the bathtub sitting there, and I was warm, and it was steaming, and I hated it. I do not know what the obsession is with these bathtubs. I'd much rather have just a regular shower. The bathtub is just a cesspool of collection and sadness. You know, and you're reading a fucking Spider-Man comic book in the bathtub, and you're like, I'm 29 years old. And wondering, you know, if Mr. Bubble would dry out my skin or make me smell good like Mr. Bubble. And then wondering what that smells like, because I don't really remember. And then thinking, Jesus Christ. I mean, shouldn't you be, you know, looking up stocks or something? The Dow and reading the... At least if I was reading the, here's the big difference between me and like a good person. A guy reading the business section of the newspaper in the bathtub full of Mr. Bubble, that's an eccentric. And we allow him his eccentricities because he's rich. A guy reading a Spider-Man comic that he does not even own, it's checked out from the library, and he's sitting there, and the Mr. Bubbles in the bathtub. That guy's fucked up, man. And also, I mean, I took the bath and then was like, I better rinse off, and took a shower right after. Yeah, that's how committed I am to the idea of a bath. That as soon as I finish, I say, ah, screw it. I probably better actually, now that I'm done screwing around, I probably better go ahead and get cleaned up, you know, so I could get back to my life. I mean, that's pretty wild, isn't it? I think. I don't know. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, let's try not to do that. I'm going to try not to do that anymore, if that helps y'all. So anyway, why was I talking about the bathtub, you guys? I'm losing it. I'm losing my fucking mind with this bathtub reading in the bathtub stuff. I wish I could play back and listen, because there must be so many things on this show. Oh, so the gym was closed. They were trying to clean the pool. I need a co-host so badly just to remind me what the fuck I was talking about. Or an engineer, a producer. So they clean the pool once a year. So you're like, well, that must be horrific. I think the pools, you know, they all have the textured walls. I think the wall started smooth and then they decided to texture them up, you know, with grime. That's not like they sprayed something on the wall for grip. It's like, oh, yeah, no, this is just human slime that's stuck on here, you know? I don't know. I don't even know how you would clean a pool. A pool on that level. I mean, they must show up in the outfits they use to clean a meth lab. Covered head to toe, respirator. The kind of respirator they used if they were being poison gassed while trying to rescue somebody from a compound. And I don't know. Do you just start off by, oh, I'm going to set off a bug bomb just to kill something, you know? And then acid. Just fill the entire pool with acid. Drain the acid. Then fill it with bleach. Then acid again. Then we mix bleach and chlorine together. Or bleach and whatever. HCl. So that we get a nice poison gas that fills the room and really kills everything. And fire. I'll just use fire. Go over the entire walls with a flamethrower. I think they'd be better off opening a pool for the summer. Everyone just gets crazy in there, and then they just close it. They blow it up, and then do a new pool next year. New pool wipes clean, you know? That could be their whole ad campaign. They could say, yeah, I mean, you know how kids were pissing and shitting in here, and people were wearing diapers that looked like they had a full load of water in the pool? You always assume that the lifeguards are staying after and fucking in the pool. Well, don't worry about it. That was last year's pool. This year's pool is brand new. So everything's going to be great. So anyway, they closed the whole place for like a week. So I went to a couple other gyms around. And, you know, they're all the same, basically. Horrible. But I have to say this. Usually I see the same people in the locker room, the same adult men, you know, naked. And they don't look great because they're usually old or fat. You know, I don't know how as a woman anyone finds a man, because they're all old or fat. There's really no other. There are skinny young ones. There are, you know, old skinny ones. There are fat old ones. They're fat young ones. There are the occasional not old, not fat ones, but it's pretty rare. I mean, I don't know. Everyone, you know, it's like women are less shallow than men. That's good, because I don't think you guys really have a choice if you're going to go with men. Because based on what I've seen in these locker rooms, you know, your options are pretty limited. Or, I mean, you could find one that's skinny and not old, and he's almost going to be for sure a douche. You know what I mean? And I don't usually use that word, douche, but in this case, it's really the only applicable descriptor. I include myself in that group. I'm a huge douche. So I've seen what my butt looks like, There's not a lot there. I have a man's butt, which is to say almost none. There's something there, but it's not amazing. I'll tell you that. It's probably like, you know, a little better than you would expect if you saw me with pants on and you'd be like, oh my God, he's going to have a horrible Hank Hill butt. And it's like, eh, it's not repulsive and grotesque, although the hair accumulation is outstanding, which also I think helps distract from how it looks, because it's like, wow, the weirdest thing about it is the hair, because it seems to be emerging from the ass crack. Because does it come all the way from inside the butthole? Where does it end? I don't even know. I don't know. I've never done an examination to figure out, you know, is there a ring of scorched earth around the asshole where hair just will not grow? Or am I going to start growing hair inside my intestines and colon and stuff? And would that be a problem? I don't know. It's the worst place to have hair, I'll tell you that. You know, I have no beard, and then I have enough ass hair for 5 beards of lumberjacks, which is perfect because that, you know, feces is passing through this hair. You know what I mean? It's awesome. It's like if you took a shit through a spider web. Imagine what the spider web would be like afterwards. The spider would be like, oh my God. Do I, you know, I think I need to abandon this home. I mean, I'm proud of it. It's like when the levees broke, except if it was all diarrhea. And the spider's like, oh, shit. Well, I think I you know, a smart spider would swallow his pride and say, I'm moving on. I'm not going to rebuild my web coated in shit. But I don't think spiders have any pride. They're just living off my apartment anyway. They're all fucking bums. So over the last couple weeks visiting these different gyms, I saw some other butts in these bathrooms. I saw some other butts, you know, a larger variety than normal. I got to tell you, compared to some other men's butts, my butt is not that bad. Not that bad. Not as bad as I thought. Here's the thing. I think that I, you know, was real not into my butt, but I'm pretty used to looking at women's butts as opposed to men's. Women have much better butts than men. They have butts. They exist. You know? So compared to that, yeah, because even a mild woman's butt is way better than an average to nice man's butt. However, having now seen so many men's butts, I feel much better about myself. I really had a nice self-esteem boost, a real breakthrough, you know? Real excited to go to therapy next week and tell my therapist, like, hey, I, you know how I was having trouble with those affirmations, those things about, you know, how I feel good about myself for various reasons? Well, I saw some other men's butts. I don't want to discuss why. You know, I was doing a Gary Glitter thing and I saw a bunch of butts. And my butt's not that bad. I know I'm wearing these pants and it doesn't look great, but I'm telling you, not that bad. You know, I don't know if that's what he's looking for or not, but what the hell? I mean, what am I? He's the therapist, right? Not me. What am I supposed to do? So I don't know. I guess I just wanted to announce that my butt's not as bad as I thought. I don't know how bad you all thought it was. So I can't say. It could be worse than you're thinking. It could be way worse. Because if you're thinking there's something going on there, it's probably worse than what you're thinking, unfortunately. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Another great episode in the can, huh? We covered so much stuff. Sports, goosebumps, pedophiles. One pedophile, at least. My butt. Those topics unrelated. I wish I wouldn't have thought of them right next to each other. But here we are. You know, we won. Keep listening. I don't know. Some people enjoy when I insult our listeners. Some people don't enjoy it and I think feel offended. But I think it's more fun to say that you guys are pieces of shit. I don't know. I don't get to say that to anybody. But, you know what? I don't know. You can tweet me or Facebook me or whatever and tell me I'm a piece of shit. Or email me. That's even more personal. If you really want to hurt my feelings, tell me I'm a piece of shit. Have a great weekend, and enjoy your lives.
Nothing new.